Samuel 24. These are the words of God. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, and there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which Yahweh has said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "Yahweh forbid that I should do this thing to my master, Yahweh's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of Yahweh." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that Yahweh delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you. I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is Yahweh's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you, yet you want my life to take it. Let Yahweh judge between you and me. Let Yahweh avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you." As the proverb of the ancients says, "Wickedness proceeds from the wicked. But my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore let Yahweh be judge, and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand." So it was, when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt with me, for when Yahweh delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore may Yahweh reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear now to me by Yahweh that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." So David swore to Saul. Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, here we have a chapter in which we find out one of the great keys to being able to obey the Lord in a difficult place. It was very difficult for David. It would have been very easy to take all the pressure off as his running and hiding and keeping constant awareness and having to manage this group of men who, remember, they had started out as many of the worthless men from Israel. All of that was very difficult. And if he wipes out Saul, then it would solve a lot of problems for him. What's more, he had pretty good theological reasoning for doing it. Often, one of the things that keeps the godly from sinning is we know it's wrong. But you hear his servant say, Saul goes into the cave, probably to use the restroom. And the New King James says, says attend to his needs here, but it's cover his feet. Which is probably to use the restroom. And his men say, this is the day Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and kill Saul at it. They say, look, this is the day of which Yahweh said to you, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. And so he had good theological reasoning. In fact, David does kind of a little test run. Apparently he was going to take the corner of the robe and then he was going to smite Saul after he figured out that he could do it securely. It's like Emmett and John putting on their camo or camoing up, you know, one of their weapons or something and putting it in the wood. And it's out there. Can you see it? And so David does a test run. He sneaks up. He takes a corner of the robe. He comes back. But after he comes back, notice the text tells us, the scripture tells us, that he has to restrain his men from going and getting Saul. In other words, his men see the corner of the robe in their hand and they say, aha, it works. We've got the right camo. He's not attentive enough. His situational awareness is poor. We've got him now. But in between his grabbing the corner, cutting the corner and coming back, instead of David smiting Saul, his heart smote him. His heart struck him. What a wonderful blessing a tender conscience is from God. And this knowledge that the Lord sees him and this tender conscience before him, that's not just what keeps David from sinning. That's what gives him courage and confidence in doing the right thing. So that in verse 12, he says, let Yahweh judge between you and me, and let Yahweh strike you down. So he's not saying Saul doesn't deserve it. And he's not saying that he's not praying for this to happen. In fact, he prays for it to happen to Saul's face. But just as he trusts that Yahweh sees what Saul does, he also trusts that Yahweh sees his own situation. And so later, he says, a couple verses later, verse 15, Yahweh judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand. So David trusts that the Lord sees what Saul is doing, the Lord sees what David is doing, the Lord is going to keep his promises, the Lord is always going to do right. You will always make the situation work out. And that's what enables David to keep the fifth commandment. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. Now, David has three different relations to Saul. First, Saul is his master. David has been hired to be his servant in the house, although sometimes that ended with David running out while Saul's trying to pin the servant to the wall. Saul is also his father-in-law. Remember, he is married to Saul's daughter. And so at one point he says, my father. And Saul, who for a while has been calling David the son of Jesse, so that even Doeg the Edomite picked up the cue, and was calling him the son of Jesse. David is also his subject. Saul is his anointed. So Saul actually has several places and relations just to David. And none of them permit David to raise his hand against him and kill him. So David is enabled to obey the fifth commandment because he remembers he's before Yahweh's face and that Yahweh, and he trusts that the Lord will bring his promises about, that the Lord will do right. And we trusting that the Lord is going to make all the circumstances work out correctly, frees us up to just ask the question, what does God require of me here? But notice that David also keeps the sixth commandment concerning himself. Because the Lord is working all things out for good, and the secret things belong to Him, but the revealed things belong to us and our children, that we may obey all God's law to do it, does not mean that you should be naive or stupid. Look at the end of the passage. After Saul has shown this great change of heart, who here actually trusts that Saul is now reformed in his behavior and attitude towards David? Anyone? Nope, not David either, right? Because Saul goes home, but where does David go?
His stronghold.
Right back to the stronghold. So it's not trusting God to throw yourself into unsafe situations just because someone says they're for you. Okay, that's not trusting God. Trusting God is doing what is right in all of your duties. David here doesn't kill Saul, but he's not foolish either. And he takes care of his own life and the life of his men. But let you and I, let us have this tender conscience before God, knowing that He sees us, whether we're actually doing our school or not, or our chores or not, or doing things the right way, that He knows whether or not we are coloring the truth or telling a lie, that He always sees us, and that we would have a tender conscience, and that our heart would smite us if we start to sin and trust God with our circumstances so that we can do right to others. And don't be foolish. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You for this lesson. We thank You for how You helped David to do what is right, to maintain that tender conscience before You. And we thank You that Christ has done so perfectly in our place. And we pray that just like You did for David here and applied to him some of the character of Your Son, our Lord Jesus, making him to trust You, making him keep a tender conscience, making him to do what is right, that You would help us also to trust You, to keep a tender conscience, and to do what is right. Forgive our sins, we pray, for how continually we do sin against You. And yet, O God, we thank You for the forgiveness, and we thank You for the grace by which You grow us. And we ask that You would in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.